Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello and welcome to Provocative Thought, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life's terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank the creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.logtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, truancy. Is there a link between truancy, crime, and prison? To put it to the point, we're going to put it just to the point, yes. And you can guess who is spearheading the exodus to prison. A guy named Mike Woburn said this. He wrote a little article, talked about what third grade graders had to do with prison planning. Because that's a long way from prison, third grade. So went a little something like this. He said in his country, they do projections on how many prisons to build based on third grade African-American male reading levels. So he went on to, you know, say, so we do so little for you after the third grade, we can essentially know how many of those young people are going to end up in jail. So they based on the third grade reading level. So that's the biggest social injustice imaginable, he said. Quote, Michelle Ree, Chancellor of the Washington, D.C. public school system, in an address to Duke University's Terry Stanford Institute of Public Policy, was quoted in the Duke magazine. This is back in 2009, they said. It says, so our prison growth planning is tied to how many African-American 10-year-olds can't read, cannot read. And our traditional approach, throwing money at the problem, is no longer available to us. Never mind that it never worked all that well anyway, right? It said, because all the money is gone, and most of it was pretend money to begin with. That's a show right there, fiat money. We're going to go ahead with this, with the truancy. Because the money is gone, and most of it was pretend money to begin with. She said, so what can we do? We should have been doing all along. What should we have been doing all along, she said. Simple. Teaching our own children and helping teach any other children we can make meaningful contact with. Understand? That's me. Save the ones that want to be saved. Help yourself. Don't wait. Don't wait for somebody to educate your child. I remember when I was a kid, I learned how to read and do things from my parents, grandma, ABCs and all that stuff. That was coming from home. That wasn't, we wasn't waiting for school. I don't know what the consensus is now, but we didn't wait for teachers to teach us how to read, and nor did I do that with my kid. So you get to learn how to read as soon as we think you're capable of doing it, which is pretty early. He said, read to your children. Turn the TV and the computer and the cell phone, you know, all those electronic devices off. Read your kid a book. That gets them acclimated toward reading. You know, they grow up viewing reading as something that you do. Not something that's of antiquity or what they did in the olden days and things like that. As far as, you know, you need, if you take the driver's test, this is book. Gonna have to read it. Unfortunately, you're going to have to read. So reading is not a thing of antiquity. It's not an ancient practice. It's not played out. It's not for old folks. It's not for smart kids exclusively. It's for kids to get smart, to learn. All kids, all adults to learn. And you never stop learning. So read to your kid. Read to your child. Volunteer for a local program in your area teaching people to read. children or adults. That might sound too much. Sorry about that, y'all. I don't even know how that happened. So, you know, volunteer to read. Do something. You don't got to get paid to help people. Help yourself. Helping the people around you is helping you, as you will see how this truancy contributes to people not being educated, how that correlates with crime. And crime, as you know, leads to imprisonment. Not only that, you know, this, you got the whole crime spree. That's an assault on your community, because most people do crime in the area they live in. Somebody's community, even if it's you just going to another section of town, they do crime. They don't usually go to another state. And I'm not saying that people don't do that, because there are crews that do that. But most times you're doing the crime right where you are. So stop depending on the government to educate your children, which is what they're basically saying, period, anyway. It says it's not their responsibility in the first place. Some people think that is. You know, because I know you send your school to your child to school to learn and things like that, but it's your job to educate your child, because education is educating your child consists of more than just learning ABCs, more than just learning American history as taught in the public schools. Hopefully, you take the time to learn about American history, how it's interpreted, why it's interpreted that way, and you'll be able to decipher what your child is being taught in school if they're not really getting the truth, which nowadays that's very hard to come by. They say you don't have to homeschool, but I'm saying you can homeschool. If you're capable of homeschooling your child, educating your own child, why not? They say public school is not enough. Bright kids in a good environment will do okay, but okay is okay, good enough. You know what I'm saying? So you take a bright kid, put him in a good environment, it may do okay. Say bright kids in a less stable environment won't do okay. And neither will kids that need any kind of special attention. Okay? So you put a, that translates to, I interpret that to mean if you put anybody in a chaotic environment, an environment that's not catering to them, not particularly addressing their needs, they're going to do poorly. You put your kids in a violent environment, things like that, or environment where the kids are just, you got knuckleheads in the classroom, disrupting the classroom. You can't learn like that. Intimidators, jokesters, things like that. You can't, your child, that's going to impair your child's ability to learn, especially if your child's fearful. So I checked that, you know, I said, okay, using the third grade reading scores to see if how many prisons to build. That is, this sounds so diabolical to me, you know. So I said, I did a little bit of checking. I went to PolitiFact, right? And they said it's an urban myth. They said, for example, in the spring of 2012, in a newsletter of the Nevada Department of Corrections, the newsletter does not speak to her to that point, but it does mention children who do not read on grade level and more likely to are more likely to drop out, use drugs, or end up in prison. So that tells me that the Nevada Department of Correction is looking at that. That's a variable that at least the Nevada Department of Correction is looking at. They say so many non-readers wind up in jail that officials have found that they can use the rate of illiteracy to help calculate future prison needs. So it's not the only thing that they use. Indiana's former governor has stated that determining the number of new prisons to build is based in part on the number of second graders not reading at second grade level. In California, they plan how many jail cells they build in the future by how many children are not reading on grade level by third grade, they said. This was the article, right? So that neither Indiana nor California does what Nevada claims it does, they said. But, you know, this is their finding. Officials at those states told them, right? This guy named Mike Schmoker is an independent education consultant. He made a similar claim in 1999 in Education Week article. He said he cannot verify the claim and does not make it any longer. Mike Tikkanen of Invisible Children, whose website and book use use the statistic, right? No state today admits to it, nor have I been able to find these references. Nobody admits to using that, those third grade, second grade, or literacy or illiteracy of African-American youth as a variable for planning to build. The only person, I guess the only people that was doing that was Nevada that incorporated that into, associated with the building prisons. They said in Florida, the Office of Economic and Demographic Research estimates future inmate populations through a variety of factors, including historical trends using the state crime rate and a number of arrests and convictions. Educational attainment, it's not one of them. They say, hey, we don't use that in Florida. Oh, no, they said. So that was Amy Baker. They said, basically, so you can't say there is no evidence when there is evidence that the Nevada Department of Corrections used second grade reading levels to determine how many prisons to build. And I wonder if they use it, why wouldn't somebody else use it? Because it's not really that far-fetched, actually. They wouldn't use it solely, but they would use that also. That would that's what it might appear to be to me, because nobody's going to admit that. I don't think they'd be stupid enough to admit that they're doing that. If they did, it said also, they cited Hillary Clinton and Colin Powell actually speaking to the same thing. They said that they're wrong. Factcheck.org and the Washington Post said that they were incorrect when they cited that prisons are built based on the literacy, or should I say illiteracy, of second and third grade students, particularly African-American. Yet PolitiFact called it an urban myth, but if it's an urban myth, it is an urban myth around some very compelling research correlating and connecting literacy skills and incarceration. Not just incarceration, but, you know, crime, incarceration, and truancy. So I guess that's what they call the highway prison. Because, you know, they say that it's a myth, an urban myth. That's a hell of a myth that you can actually see compelling evidence that correlates and connects literacy skills to incarceration. So what is truancy? Well, truancy is a, this is from, I got this from Bill Rivers, Cause, Effects, and Solutions by Bill Rivers. Said truancy is the habitual act of being absent from school without permission. So unexcused absences, you get a series of unexcused absences, you are truant. Actually, one on his shoes absent, you truant. That kind of, some kind of omen right there. I don't know why that keeps going on. Okay, so they broke this thing down according to Zane. I can't even say this guy's name. Zane Katsianis Barrett and Wilson. The causes for truancy can be positioned within four major categories, they said. Family factors, school factors, economic influences, and student variables. Right? Family factors may cause truant behavior. They may include, but they're not limited to these things, right? You know, because there's a lot of stuff. Parents' education, parental supervision, and household income. They had a study, and this thing is a little old, 2007, right? On 8th and 10th grade student absenteeism, truancy, right? By a guy named Henry. He correlates family factors with truant behavior. He saw that the lower the father's education, the more likely the child is to commit truancy. The chance of the child would commit truancy was even higher if the mother was a high school dropout. That's an interesting statistic right there. They say his work proves that the longer a child is unsupervised after school, the more likely that child is to become truant. Hey, idle time is the devil's playground, right? So children should be supervised. You know, they said 29.9% of truants were unsupervised for 5 hours or more after school, whereas 11.3% of truants were never unsupervised after school. That's a big difference. In a recent study, it said truant offenders in the juvenile justice system, right? This is from Zhang. In 2007, they linked truancy to household income. They established that minors that were first referred to the juvenile justice system tend to be more financially impoverished, poor, right? Poor folks, right? With a relatively high percentage of families making less than $15,000 per year than their regularly attending peers. That is, students are more likely to exhibit truancy if they live in families that gross less than $15,000 annually. And I can see that, because that kid, and God forbid he has some siblings, he's not going to have the latest sneaker on. You know, he might be wearing something a couple of times. He might not be as clean. So he might have a serious problem just with the ridicule that he might get in school. School factors that may cause truant behavior include, but are not limited to, school climate. That's the what kind of school you in. You know, how other people behave in their school. Not just the students, the adults too. But that means something. Class size. It's just, if there's too many people in the classroom for a teacher to actually pay attention to everybody, to anybody with special needs, that's not a special education student. You just need a little special attention. That class may be too big and you get lost in the sauce. Attitudes, and you know attitudes. We all know about attitudes. Ability to meet each student's diverse needs. And the school's discipline policy regarding truancy, right? They said, according to Wilkins in 2008, students that attend large schools may feel isolated or alienated in their school setting. So to escape that, they don't go to school. The students do not feel comfortable, wanted, valued, accepted, or secure. They are lacking a connection to a trustworthy somebody within the school. All right? You got to feel safe in the school. I got a story about that myself. But I'm a different kind of kid. Because when I was a kid, I had a group of guys come into my classroom. Guy put a knife to the back of my neck, walked up behind me, and put a knife to my neck. And just to talk about school climate and things like that, well, teacher was right there. She never told him to get out. She never called the principal, the police, the school police, nobody, after they left. And a guy put a knife to my neck in the classroom, you know what I'm saying? So, same teacher, somebody walked in there, slapped her in the face. After that incident, she called everybody. So, of course, that didn't stop me from coming to school because I was a different kind of guy. But some guys might not go to school after that. They feel insecure, not secure, not safe. Can't trust the teacher. She didn't look after me. She didn't even care. She didn't even say nothing. So I can understand. I can identify with that. And I knew a kid that wouldn't go to school because of the violence. Anyway. And he was a good kid. He wasn't even involved in anything. He was a good kid, and I'm surprised that he wasn't going to school. The reason why he wouldn't go is because of the gang violence. Anyway, oversized classrooms, as we said, you know, students have different needs. Sometimes, you know, anybody don't catch on it when you say it, you know, that thing at first. Some teachers maybe a little impatient. They're moving real fast, trying to get through their lesson plan. They probably have their agenda, things they must do, and they feel they don't have time to stop. And with 10 kids in a classroom and help 10 individuals, and you got a classroom of 30-something kids or 25 to 30 kids, and they might be like, hey, I got to keep moving this lesson plan because I'm being held accountable for, you know, addressing certain issues or educational standards in this classroom, even though I guess they're forgetting about the whole part about educating everybody in the classroom, trying to meet some standard that they've been forced to adhere to. So if your needs can't be consistently met, here you go again. You're like, man, nobody care about me. I ain't getting no help. I need some help. Can't get no help. It's useless for me to show up. Why should I go to school? I'm not learning nothing, and nobody's trying to help me, right? So I could see that. This leads to a climate and an attitude in which the individual must fend for himself. So he might start cheating. Did that. Not for this reason, though. Henry in 2007. Said 23% of truant students choose to skip school because they don't feel safe in their school environment. That's real. That's not just a bad. That's not just the gangbangers. Now, some people might think, oh yeah, he's a banger. He's not going to school. He's a bad boy, and he's creating his own jeopardy by associating with gangs and stuff like that. Which that does create your own jeopardy when you're in that kind of clique, gang, or whatever you want to call it, organization. You know, you create your own jeopardy. Some people who don't want to be a part of that, and, you know, if you go to school with a gang, is, you know, how gang members like to intimidate people. Let me hold something, pack the pockets. They think you somebody you're not. Think you from somewhere you're not. You did something they don't like. You with a girl that they like. You know how it goes. You know, thug gonna try to, you know, move on you. So they gonna try and intimidate you, and some people will actually hurt you, based on some nonsense. And whether or not it's being directed at the particular student or not, some people just don't want to even be around that type of violence. You don't want to go to school and you be in a classroom, somebody put a knife to somebody's neck. Nobody wants that. Who wants to go to school for that? How many people want How many people want to send their kids? How many people want to send their kid to that school? You know what I'm saying? Excuse me, y'all. I don't even know how that's happening. You know, I wouldn't want to send my kid to that school, but believe it or not, that's what a lot of us are sending our kids to, those type of schools in these inner cities where we have those type of juvenile and adult organizations. So if you don't feel safe, you expect them to go to school? They said, moreover, if the student does not feel comfortable, secure, or safe, and logically decides to skip school because location somewhere else is safer than the school, he's punished. That suggests that imposing more serious punishment has worsened truant behavior. So, you know, should a kid be punished if he's, you know, fearful of going to school? Or should we just wait till that kid is knocked in the head, stabbed, shot, beaten, you know, halfway to death? That's a show in itself right there. Anyway, they found the punishment to be counterproductive, right? As you could probably, but you know, come on, like, I'm fearful. Now you, I'm in truancy court. Now you want to remove me out of the house because I'm fearing for my life. That's very unfair. Economic influences may cause truant behavior. They include living situations, student employment. It said that 35% of high school truants did not live with their mother and father. 26.6% lived with their father only. 19.8% lived with their mother only. 14.4% live with both parents. So, according to this, right, less truancy with both parents in the house. And I'm assuming you have both parents who are a productive parent. They're not like, you know, parents who coming in there who are addicts and not functional addicts and things like that. Anyway, but it sounds like when the dad's out of the house, you have the most truancy. And it's a lot of that. The next is the mother. No, that's 27% live with their father only. So with the father in the house, they had less truancy. Then next was the next highest percentage was those who live with the mother. Excuse me. Right, so that does say when the dad's at the house, you have more truancy. Both parents, you have 14.4% live with both parents of the truant people, right? So kids that were truant. So there's a likelihood that a student would commit truancy increases when the student lives only with one parent, right? You can see that from 27.6 to 19.8, right? With that 14.4%. I mean, it's not good, but it's better than 27.6. Or 19.8, right? So they said the it increases when the student only lives with one parent, right? As you can see, anywhere between 5.9% to 13.7%, right? If a child lives with neither his mother or father, all right? So family is important. That's what I'm getting from this. Family is important, and I'm assuming that family is a nurturing family, a family that encourages their child to get an education, encourages their child to do healthy things, right? Not the Maul Barker family, all right? Said also, Henry explained that students who work more than 20 hours a week greatly increase their chances of committing truancy. I seen that. Because they got to work. They get tired, you know, and they'd rather make that money. They go to school, so they might work during some times when they should be in school, which they shouldn't be allowed to do. But they might sleep sometimes when they should be in school because, hey, I'm tired from working. That's a part-time job. They said of the truancy He examined 23.9% worked 20 hours or more per week, whereas only 13.4% worked 5 or less hours per week. Excuse me. So the variables that may cause truant behavior also include physical, mental health problems, substance abuse, drug abuse, perception of self, and detachment from school. That's a lot, because you got that going on in families, in communities, and then you bring that into the school. So it and depending on who the child is, you know, what kind of behavior he's exhibiting and how these students respond to him, he could become detached easily from the school. And it's very sad. Dissocio in 2007 identifies physical and mental health issues as contributing to school absenteeism. We can see that. That's a no-brainer. You have mental health issues, you know, that's a no-brainer right there. I don't think it takes a genius. I don't think anybody would disagree with that. Physical issues, if you have, you're asthmatic or you have some kind of physical disability or something like that, that might impair your ability to get to school too. They suggest that truancy causes this with student and family mental health disorders. It may be an indicator of an existing or emerging mental health order, including post-traumatic stress disorder, anxiety, depression, and or substance abuse. Just think about that. You come from these war-torn communities where people are got a lot of drug substance abuse, got a lot of assaults, a lot of homicides, unsolved homicides. Just a lot of negativity around you. I could see a lot of kids coming to school with this issue. Whether or not, how they deal with it, I don't know. You know, and to what degree might determine whether or not they choose to be truant from school. You know what I'm saying? So if they substance abuse, they might smoke weed, so they may smoke a little bit of weed so they can go to school. They might smoke a lot of weed. They might lace the weed. So, you know, school certainly, they sooner or later, they going to school is just not even in the picture. They're just getting high. Depression. You know, a lot of people like to say people are lazy, and when they're not lazy at all, they're depressed. So we need to, when you see a student that you think is lazy, do some investigation before you tell the kid that it's lazy or she's lazy. Have a conversation, please, because it shows that you care enough to investigate instead of just "you're lazy." That's not always the case. All right, anxiety, post-traumatic stress disorder. I'm surprised that the whole black community doesn't suffer from that. If they don't, because war zone, and it's been a war zone for many years, many generations. Well, at least in the urban areas. So another study implicates students that use alcohol one or more times a month, as 26.6% more likely to skip school. So that's right up there with the kids. His dad, okay, so then there are peers who do not use alcohol. The students that drinks to a level of intoxication, right? So that's the difference. You drink, and then you drink a lot. So his likelihood of skipping school increases to 31.2%. 33.9% of the students who have been truant smoke cigarettes. 37.2% smoke marijuana at least once a month. students that held lower perceptions about themselves were more likely to skip school. The students with higher perceptions of, okay, I have low self-esteem. Wow. And this is really, I said, they use the example of a kid to say he has basically no, hardly any educational aspiration. I probably won't graduate from high school, and I definitely won't attend college. They commit higher truancy at 44.5% and 30%, respectively, than their peers who answered definitely will graduate from high school and definitely will go to college at 15% and 12.1%, respectively. So that's a positive attitude and a vision. So if the student doesn't have a vision, right? You know, if you don't have a vision sight, if you don't see a light at the end of the tunnel, then you're less likely to go through that tunnel. So these kids don't have a vision, they're less likely to go to school, all right? So we need a vision. We need to make sure that our children, right, see the light at the end of the tunnel. Even more, a 2007 study indicated that as many as 30% of youth who are absent on a given day are representative of school disengagement or detachment. Students that exhibit school disengagement and lack of commitment to the school are poor achievers and hold low aspirations for their futures. No light at the end of the tunnel, not able to get their needs met, and we don't know what's going on at home, right? That may have an impact on all these things. We don't know. We don't know if it's mental health. We don't know if domestic violence. We don't know if they're extremely impoverished. They can't, you know, they're going to school hungry. You know, they're dealing with some, they saw some stuff happening in their house. They, you know, they can't concentrate on school. We don't know. Truancy consequences are extensive, they said. They can predict maladjustment, poor academic performance, school dropout, substance abuse, delinquency, and teenage pregnancy. In the long term, they say, evidence reveals truancy as a predictor of poor adult outcomes, right? So what you do, right, it's just like a plant. You don't water it, right, it's going to struggle, right? And it might die, but it won't be the healthy plant that it should be. If it does grow. So it's a predictor of poor adult outcomes, including violence, marital instability, job instability, adult criminal, and incarceration. So I don't think we should leave juvenile or criminal activity out of that either. But I didn't write this, so they didn't say juvenile. They said adult criminal and incarceration. Moreover, they said truancy exerts a negative effect on the community, right? Because I'm sure no one would disagree with the fact that if an individual is not able to get their needs met in school, who eventually drops out of school, still not able to get their life needs met, they will resort to illegal activity if they can't get a job. You know, like I have a conversation like on application, they're asking people, you 18 or over, they're asking if they want to know if you have a graduated from high school. A lot of programs won't take you unless you graduated from high school. You have to, they have programs that have a diploma program that you can enter before you can start the, say it's a trade program or something like that. Before you start anything else, you gotta get your high school diploma or your GED. That's how important that is. That's the light at the end of the tunnel, because it's gonna help you get some things done, right? And I'm saying, people can't get their needs met, they're gonna find a way. to get those needs met. Now, see, some students might be able to find a way to get their needs met in school, but some can't. Some might not have that, you know, might not be that swift, you know, the gift, the gab, you know, to say, hey, you know, talk, articulate, and I need some help. Some might not want people to know that they do need help. If everybody seems to get in the habit, even though they don't. They're acting like they got it. You don't. Some don't care. So you can't really worry about the people who don't care. But you might be a kid that, you know, have this image, and you don't want people to know that he doesn't get something. And he might need that something to move on to the next phase of that class. So, but outside of school, there are many ways to earn money, to get money, not earn. So I guess you can earn money selling drugs and stuff like that, prostitution, and things like that. I guess that's earning money, but that's very harmful to you and our community, because we have people, young eyes, watching you. So children learn what they see. And unfortunately, so do adults. They learn on what they see also, because we never stop learning. So we learn to commit crimes in our neighborhood, and that causes a serious problem, as we see. But the heroin, crack, cocaine, methamphetamine, pill epidemic has done to the black community. Not just the black community, though. We can just say that to the whole country. You know what I'm saying? It's destroying families, which these guys' article is saying, if children do better when their family is intact, family being the mother, the father, and the children, the child and the children. So they do better when they have that support. Two is better than one numerically, right? So, well, I'm assuming that there are two positive people. Because we know two can be a terrible thing. It could be the terrible twos, two terrible parents. We know that. But I'm not, you know, if anybody's trying to twist what I'm saying, two parents better than one. Statistically, they've shown this. Two parents in the home, child does better. Not that a single parent can't raise a kid. Not saying that. But nobody said 100% or anything like that, right? So we're not slamming single parent households or parents where, you know, we're just saying two's better. This guy's saying two's better than one. And I'm going to agree with that. That makes a lot of sense to me. Because one could work, one could take care of children. You know what I'm saying? Two heads is better than one, you know? That's it anyway. Has a negative effect on the community because of its correlation between delinquency, there it is, crime, and other negative adult outcomes, right? Student dropout from school is the most obvious result of chronic absenteeism. You know, and at some point, depending on how many days absent you are, you have literally dropped out of school anyway. You just haven't been dropped from the roll. They got this thing called office roll in Philadelphia because of chronic absenteeism. You don't show up, they put you on this thing called office roll. You know, so you out of education. You're not getting the best education. We know that. And I like to say, even if it's not the best, if it's not the best, master it. Master what they give you and look to, you know, educate yourself. There's a lot of things we can do now to get information. You don't have to depend on the school to learn. But whatever they're giving you, learn it, master it. And if you haven't, if you need to go back to school, go on back. Go get it. You know, if you need to go get a piece of paper in order to move forward in the real world, in the, you know, the adult world, go back, get that paper so you can move on, get that training, and go do your thing. Who knows? You never know what could happen from that. According to the Rodriguez and Conscious in 2009, truancy and dropout rates are concentrated and worsening in racially segregated central cities and primarily large high schools attended by, well, you can guess this one, mostly low-income youth of color, right? So that will be Black, Latino. So I went to the U.S. Census. The Black imprisonment rate in the United States has fallen by a third since 2006. Then they went on to say the poverty rate for Blacks was 18.8% in 2019. For Hispanics, it was 15.7% in 2019. In 2019, the share of Blacks in poverty was 1.8 times greater than their share amongst the general population. Blacks represented 13.2%, they said, of the total population in the United States, but 23.8% of the poverty population. See that right there? So if poverty has, if there is a correlation between poverty, absenteeism, truancy, juvenile crime, and incarceration, what we have is a disproportionate amount of Black folks being hit with that, being exposed to that. The Hispanics in poverty was 1.5 times more than their share in the general population. Same thing. Hispanics comprise 18.7% of the population, but were 28.1% of the population in poverty. All right? So they already connect poverty, right? And poverty could be connected to a lot of things, you know, depression, anxiety, crime, lack of supervision, all these things these guys are talking about. You can name it. It can come out of being impoverished. They said, in contrast, the non-Hispanic whites and Asians were underrepresented in the poverty population. So they're underrepresented. Whites make up about 59.9% of the total population, but only 41.6% of the population in poverty. Right? So that means less, it's a less percent of them, of their, it's a less percent of their population, right, exposed to poverty, which said speaks to how absenteeism, truancy, juvenile delinquency, incarceration of juveniles and adults. So that's why you have a large percent that might account for why you have a large percent of African Americans, Black people, for lack of a better term. I know we're struggling. Some of us are struggling with the term, but you know who we're talking about. Black folk, African American, right? We know who we're talking about, right? Let's not have a conversation about all that. Let's not make this about that. So Asians made up 6.1% of the population and 4.3% of the population in poverty. So they all under their percentage, their population percentage. We way over. Black folks is way over their percentage, and Hispanics, we over their percentage. So from the fact tank, right? They said, while the rate of imprisonment has decreased the most in recent years, Black Americans remain far more likely than their Hispanic and white counterparts to be in prison. The Black imprisonment rate at the end of 2018 was nearly twice the rate of among Hispanics, 797 per 100,000, and more than five times the rate of whites, 268 per 100,000. All right, so that kind of supports what these guys are saying about poverty and education, truancy, and that highway to prison, seems like a large percentage of the black population is at least on that highway. I don't know if they're taking it all, anybody of them take it all, don't make it all the way to prison, but many do. While the rate of imprisonment has decreased, the most in recent years, black Americans remain far more likely than their Hispanic counterparts, right, to be in prison. Black imprisonment rate at the end of 2018 was twice the rate, right? I just said that, and five times the rate among whites. So that's deep right there. That ain't, no one, let me stop that. That ain't deep. That's something we need to, I guess we need to really take a look at us and see how we deal with poverty. We need to help ourselves. I guess that's another story too, though. But black people need to just start helping yourself. Even if the people, some of the authors here that I'm quoting, basically that's what they're basically saying. Help yourself. Don't look for nobody else. There's things we can do for ourselves. You know, we don't have to get paid for everything, and it's okay to help somebody else who doesn't have something. That's what I say, too. The racial and ethnic makeup of U.S. prisons continues to look substantially different from the demographics of the country as a whole, right? Because, you know, black people are not the leading population in this country. In 2018, black Americans represent 33% of the sentenced prison population, nearly triple their 12% share of the U.S. audit population. That thing fluctuates between 12 and 13. 12 is the number it's 13 is the number I've usually heard, though. But it says 12%. Whites account for 30% of the prisoners, about half of their 63% share of the adult population. Listen to that. So percentage wise, look at black people. It's like they run into jail. Hispanics account for 23% of inmates compared to 16% of the adult population. Hispanics is walking quickly to jail. Hispanic brothers and sisters. I just want to say, prison is not an option. I understand things happen, but this is ridiculous, and we need to reach out and start helping each other, and start healing some wounds, and giving people a light at the end of the tunnel. Back to the story, it said dropout rates in these areas are twice the national average, nearly 20%. And exceed 50-60% in some areas of the United States. That was going back to this impoverished areas. So in these areas, more students are dropping out than graduating. What does it say about our society? What is in store for these students? How do these individuals survive in a country where average income is directly correlated with the level of education? Yeah, how do we do that? I say we start helping ourselves. Stop looking for somebody to save you. And I'm not trying to say you don't get anything from government. Stop looking for people to save you and start saving yourself. Because if you're looking for somebody to save you, that might be an indication you're not doing what you can do, whatever you can do to help yourself. So help you. Each one reach one, each one teach one. And, you know, just bring if we don't have a bar, get a bar. Let's raise the bar, you know, higher for everybody in terms of getting an education. Let's put a light in the tunnel for everybody. Just specifically, we're talking about education. But I think we just need that for, we need a bar, you know, on what we expect from you and the teachers, not just students, what we expect from the educational systems. And we need to get together and we need to, you know, do something. You know, marching is good, I guess. It brings attention to the issue. But as Mr. Jones would like to say, we've been marching forever. We've been marching about people killing us since we've been, you know, held captive in this country. We've been marching about, complaining about that, and we're still being slaughtered, you know, still being killed in situations where it's not warranted. And people are basically just getting slapped on the wrist if they get that. So we've been marching for a minute. So you have to actually do something. You have to figure out what it is you need to do, we need to do, and then we need to start doing it. Education is important. As a rapper said, education is important to the dollar you earn. Well, they say school is important if you want to learn. Education is important to the dollar you earn. I forget the rest of it. I'm old. They said the most logical response, an increase in crime rates and the nation's incarcerated population. That's the response to it, as I said. As what we're talking about today, is it a connection? Hell yeah. It's a connection because some people I wouldn't say predisposed, but they in a position economically, socially, that kind of, kind of puts them in a position where they are likely to experience absenteeism, truancy, crime, incarceration. And it's a whole lot of stuff in between there. I can't repeat everything I just said. But that's the basis of it. Yeah, we are both Latino brothers right behind us. We got to do better than this. We can complain about the education, but let's master it, okay? And let's put our heads together. That goes for, I don't know. That might be some grandiose thinking. I think I'm coming from a grandiose kind of thing, all of us working together, because it would be nice. But got to use what you got to get what you want. And let's do it without poisoning each other and blowing each other's heads off. That's what I'm saying. So, you know, hopefully the people that know, the people in so-called high places, start actually doing things to service the population. You know what I'm saying? But until then, we need to service ourselves. Stop filling our kids up with this garbage. If they say you are what you eat, well, you are what you put into your mind also. All right? So if you're around a bunch of garbage, you're being exposed to a bunch of garbage, a bunch of aggression, violence, criminal behavior. You're being exposed to people, being influenced by people who don't value getting an education. I get it. It's all right. It's inferior. Okay, but get that inferior thing up under your belt and educate yourself. You can educate yourself if you want to. Get to a place where you can get a better education, or try to. Or create that. And I'm speaking as a people. We need to create that. Umar Johnson is trying to, I think he got his $2 million for his school. He had an excellent idea, educating yourself. You know, making sure that, you know, he had a certain curriculum. And, you know, I'm not to talk about him, but I'm just saying he had an excellent idea about blacks, helping black folk. not being dependent on the system. I'm not saying the system don't owe you nothing, or because politically, that's what they're saying. We got your back. But it seems like more they got like a knife in your back. I get that. But, you know, we need to start doing things for ourselves. Check out Umar Johnson. Let's watch and see what happens with with his school. I don't know the name of it. I can't give him a hit, but it's, you know, I just want to say, you know, that was an excellent idea, because I had read about it briefly, and he has some very, 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 very strength-based concept about educating black youth. The most consistent finding regarding truancy and dropout rates is the correlation the behavior has to high rates of delinquency. Right. I remember I had this conversation. I remember when the people who didn't go to school were the delinquents. Delinquents like the bad boys, just to make, you know, thugs and stuff like that. The guys who was just being bad. That was the guys that didn't go to school. And they didn't go to school because they couldn't. Some of them just didn't go to school because they was, you know, being bad, not going to school, just doing something else that day. And, you know, thinking, I don't know why all of them didn't go, because some of them might have had some of the issues that we just talking about. They're not getting the attention they need in school. One parent, maybe two parents, but they're two absent parents, though they're present. Or maybe they're being influenced by delinquent youth, that environment, that socially being influenced like that. Maybe they feel like they're not getting the help they need in school, so they drop out. They start to, you know, fade away, and move toward delinquency. Because say if you feel powerless in school, you become a juvenile delinquent. You become a tough guy in the neighborhood, or with the tough guys in the neighborhood. Now you have power. Now you somebody in that, and you can seek power through being aggressive and intimidating. You could feel, hey, I'm somebody. And, you know, everybody's somebody, delinquent or not. But you know how it goes. I don't know what everybody's reasons for being in it, a delinquent is all about, you know. But once you see that you could steal and get away with something, first time you do it, it's just like anything else. Nothing happened to me. I just stole these whole four cases of sodas. You know what I mean? He just stole his car. Nothing happened. We just riding around and like it's ours. You know? So, you know, anyway, I'm just saying that that is the wrong way to build your self-esteem. It's counterproductive, and it's a threat, and hurts the community, hurts the people in the community. Okay? So, let's say, forms of delinquency include substance abuse, right, gang activity, and later involvement in adult criminal activity such as burglary, auto theft, vandalism, thus leading to incarceration. I don't know about adult activity, but all that is what gangs do. I don't see the difference between the adult activity and what a gang members do, because they do all of that. Plus, they don't even have homicide down there, so. And assault. Let's say, for example, 94% of Rhode Island juvenile offenders are or have been considered truant from school. 94%, that's a lot. Let's say, given on any day, 1 in 10 male dropouts or 1 in 4 black male dropouts, right, are incarcerated or institutionalized in the United States. I said, there you go again. Every time it comes to we can talk about this year, this is affecting all groups, but 1 in 10 male dropouts, right? Or 1 in 4 when it comes to, you know, with male, black male dropouts. That's a hell of a correlation right there. Correlation between dropping out, right, truancy, right? Dropping out, not getting education, and incarceration is greater for the black male. According to Spelman in 2009, United States houses a greater portion of its population, of its citizens in any country in the world. We have the most amount of people who are incarcerated than anywhere on the planet. So we are lock you up country. This is a lock you up country. And I'm not saying people don't deserve to be incarcerated. I'm not saying that people are doing things and they shouldn't be incarcerated or as a result of their crime. But some people do need to be off the street. So, but here is we have a lot of it. It says the direct cost of incarceration exceeds 20,000 per prisoner a year, thus costing the U.S. billions in tax dollars. The United States Department of Education reported that from 2005 to 2006, the average spending per pupil in elementary and secondary school was $9,391. So the writer went on to say, it becomes apparent that the United States values murderers, rapists, burglars, some of which are high school dropouts, over its impressionable youthful learner population. Perhaps American education and America's prison system should move from a reactive to a more preventive program when it comes to keeping students in school. Truancy prevention. Middleton suggests that if just South Carolina had high school dropout population, if just South Carolina's high school dropout population from 2007 graduated with their given classes, their contribution to the economy would be roughly $8 billion over their lifetimes, thus supporting the view that educating children is far more beneficial than incarcerating their eventual haphazard adult product. Okay, so they're saying that basically lack of education of a child leads to an adult, which is basically struggling and making poor decisions, or continuing to make poor decisions and not able to do the things they need to do legitimately. And as I said, you need some things you need more than a high school diploma. You need job training. Like I said, job training requires, now it may be somewhere that you might get job training without a high school diploma or GED, but as far as I know, you need that. And what I'm saying that is, so you get trained to do something that you can do on your own. Barbering. You can cut hair. You can make your own money. Carpentry, you know, electronics and stuff like that. Working with computers and things like that. Of course, the job market is very important. Understand that. So, but here you can see U.S. is spending $20,000 per individual in the prison system, and they're spending $9,391 on the same individuals in those elementary and secondary schools. That's sad. Because it seems like we should put more work at the lower level of the school system. Because like I said, you have a plant, you want to nurture the plant in the beginning. There's a thing in the Bible that says train a child in a way he should go and he won't go astray. Well, if he does go astray from what he's learning, at least he has something to go back, to come back on. But if he doesn't know anything better, right, he's not doesn't know any better, or then you know that you have that person has to be educated to know better. As say, for instance, Malcolm X, he's running the streets with Red Fox, committing crimes, right? So what happened to him? He got educated, turned his life around. No more criminal activity. He was incarcerated, right? He got educated, turned his life around, and started helping other people. So, but that's what the U.S. is doing, according to these folks. I haven't seen the documentation. I don't know. That's just what this guy is saying. Spellman. Even more problematic is our nation dropout costs the nation approximately $260 billion in lost earnings and foregone taxes each year. I guess they calculate if these people work, I guess. So they would be contributing to the economy. You need jobs in order to do that, though. So that's a light at the end of the tunnel. Employment in a society where you need to, or $15,000 a year is not going to help you. You can't, you're going to meet a chick, a woman, excuse me, and you're going to, just get married, you know, and say, how much you make? I make $15,000 a year. So she might say, hey, that ain't enough for you to live. How both of us going to live off of that? And then how both of us going to have children on $15,000 a year? How we going to do that? She might be. So I could see where they cause a lot of problems. So now I want to make $15,000. I want to get married. So I can be a lookout for $100 a week. I can be a carrier. Or I can just get my own corner. I can see how they can do that. Or I can get into some other stuff. I know computers pretty well. I'm going to hack this. I can see how that all that happens is people want what they want. Sometimes they don't always make the best decisions. You know. So, but if you got a trade under your belt, you can always... you have a better chance at earning some money, especially if you undercut the people that's charging anybody out. Well, first you got to do good work. You got to know what you're doing. And then you just, you know, provide a lower bid than people, the average person is, you know, giving a person to do a job. It says another correlation that can be made between truancy, dropping out, and then incarceration is alarming rates of illiteracy within America's prison system. Right? Baron Cohen, 2007, stated that 75% of America's incarcerated population can be considered illiterate. All right? So, illiterate doesn't mean that you cannot read at all, but it can mean that. But it means that you're not reading as like you can't read a newspaper. You need help with that. So they went on to talk about what if some grandiose stuff. It seems like this is a bunch of grandiose stuff because it's no, you know, it's no coincidence that African Americans are more African Americans are impoverished, and we seem to be leading all those negative races. African Americans seem to be at the top of the heap. You name it, conservation, homicide, and truancy. You know, I don't know. Anyway, just they were saying anyway. Excuse me. Get back. They're saying, what if they were able to reach everybody who dropped out of school and committed various crimes? We have more legitimate small businesses, they said, right? So basically saying you would help these guys. If you, instead of perpetuating crime, absenteeism, truancy, low self-esteem, you know, things like that, perpetuate, build these brothers up. Legitimate small businesses. That's one of Umar's concepts. I don't think he, I think his small businesses, I'm sure he's talking about something bigger than small business in operation, right? The country would be wealthier. Decrease on, you would see a decrease in the crime rate, right? Because you've taken people who were truant and later dropped out of school and committed various crimes, right? Instead of them taking that highway, right? This is some hypothetical stuff, y'all. But it makes sense. And why not help these people do something positive? That's too much like right, as somebody likes to say. And it is. If they don't want to help you, you got to help yourself. But how about, as Umar Johnson concept says, help yourself. You know what I'm saying? Educate yourself. Support yourself. Stop preying on yourself. Stop abusing yourself. Stop cutting yourself. Stop shooting yourself in the foot, head. Because we got a lot of that going on in the community. Stop creating an atmosphere of fear and intimidation. All that leads to is more violence, more homicides, more incarceration. People not afraid to go out into the community. Some might be afraid to go to school again, can't concentrate. And so all that's perpetuating the truancy, the attendance issues, and the learning issues and things like that. You're perpetuating it. So that's a cancer that we have, and this is showing you how, you know, those things impact on us as a people. As a, we gotta stop. You know, anybody got any suggestions about that? How are we gonna do it? You know, this, you know, collective economics. How are we gonna get together if we don't trust each other? I get it. Not all of us is going to be able to do it. I get that. But let's start somewhere. Individual by individual, family by family, house by house, block by block, community by community, city by city. Let's start doing something other than this. Going to prison is not a badge of honor. In 2007, they initiated a mentor intervention program. A five-tier intervention program approach on title school-based scheme piloted in the United Kingdom. Each of the aforementioned strategies and interventions have exhibited at least minimum success within the schools they were initiated. And this thing is rough. What is the successful components of the previous strategies and interventions were selected and combined with one another to be used as a single force to combat chronic illegal absenteeism? What if? I mean, we can what if all day. You know, what if we all got together and started, like I said, at the end of the tunnel. Direct instruction or instrumental approach places an emphasis on the drill and practice of technique, thought, scripted, rehearsed, and fast-paced lessons. It's a key phase used in instructional intervention. This is especially useful in reading and math classes where students can receive immediate feedback. Teachers' praise and reinforcement has empirical support for increasing on task behavior and decrease in inappropriate behaviors, they said. That's Zhang. These are different studies. I'm mixing them up because they're mixed up in this article. Through instructional intervention, habitually absent students are encouraged to attend school through praise. Right? So that's the same thing. Like, you get praise for knocking somebody in the head on the street. Oh, yeah, he crazy. That's my man right there. Yo, what's up? So, you know, you can praise people for doing the right thing. You know, you're not corny because you're getting an education. You're educated. That's the bar going up. Positive behavior support and functional behavior assessment are two examples of behavioral-based interventions. Positive behavior support incorporates several empirically proven practices into a continuum of support for students, right? You're going to support positive behavior, right? Functional behavior assessment is an example of a more individual-based intervention, right? They said individuals not getting their needs met, it's a contributor to truancy. And it's a process in which information is gathered about the function of the student's behavior. That's tailored for the student, the individual student. This can be used to maximize the effectiveness and efficiency of the student's behavioral support and self-management. This process generally involves self-monitoring, self-evaluation, and positive reinforcement. Moreover, they said this process is intended to teach students to take responsibility. Teach students to take responsibility for their social behavior and academic performance. And we run out of time. There's a whole lot more. Y'all do your own research, please. Each one reach one, each one teach one, for real. If it's just one person, and that one person reaches out and touches another person, we got to raise the bar, create a bar which says, get the education that's in front of you, right? Get it. Right? Dropping out of school is not an option. All right? I want to thank We Talk Productions, Mr. Kenny Jones, listeners, callers. Until next week, y'all, peace out. Remember, truancy is not an option.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from the Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on Report from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on a rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme
song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.